Well, good morning, church family. You are something very special today. Do you know why? Not because I'm preaching. That has nothing to do with it. But it is Time Change Sunday. And you not only got here on time, you came to the first service. I pastored a church in Pennsylvania for 24 years. And on Time Change Sunday, it was very interesting. We actually had a 9:30 service and an 11 o'clock service. And what was incredibly interesting is we would have, you know, it's okay to laugh, it's okay to have a sense of humor. And one of the things we would do in our staff meeting, we would say, how many people that always go to the 9:30 service show up for the 11 thinking they're at the 9:30? And it was hilarious. Every year we'd almost like, you know, I think there's going to be 5 and 6, and we would kind of do that. And then we would do the same thing. What happens in the fall is how many of those 11 o'clockers would come to the 9:30 because they forgot to pull their clock forward. So anyway, I'm glad you're here today, and I'm looking forward to this message. As we come to Easter, Matt is with his children this morning as they're going through, I believe, the gospel presentation with his children. So I'm not just filling in at this service, I'll be at the next service as well. But he asked me to fill in today, and I'm going to be speaking on a subject matter of serving. And as you can, if you look at the Word of God, you look at the Bible, there's really no other text that I think comes to mind other than the text we're going to look at today in John chapter 13. My wife and I came here just several months ago. We came on a Sunday morning, and we fell in love with this church. We came on a Sunday morning. They were having the Connect class right after that, so we hadn't been here, an hour. We were green as cucumbers, as they say down in Georgia, and we went over to the Connect class. We enjoyed that, and then I says, well, why not try a small group? So on Tuesday night, we're at the small group, and we just feel like this is where the Lord led us. And I say all of that because of the following. What I'm going to speak on this morning is why we felt comfortable here and why I believe this is a church that God no doubt is using, can use, and will use. Because I believe serving and humility is what personifies this particular local assembly. My wife and I are recent here. We have 13 grandchildren. We have children in California. My son and daughter-in-law are out there. We have a grandson out there. We have a child here, and she's going to come to the 11 o'clock service, I think. And then I have a daughter in Columbus, Ohio, and her husband are there. He's actually a pastor of a fairly large church in Columbus. And then I have a daughter in Charlotte, North Carolina. So what our children did is they all wanted mom and dad to live with them because you get free babysitters, right? So what they did is the one in Raleigh won the lottery and they got my wife. So anyway, but I'm going to be speaking today on John chapter 13, and it really ties into the Easter at Ligon. Matt preached 2 weeks ago on prayer. Our group, I believe the prime timers, overcomers, whatever we're called, we all walked around and we did our prayer walk. And that was really wonderful. And we did a prayer walk. Last week he preached on the issue of sharing our faith at the woman at the well. And today I'm going to talk about serving. Serving. What does it mean to serve? And we all have a chance, and I'll share at the end of this message, a chance to do something what we call intentional. You know, it's all great to say, I love that. That's wonderful, Fred. That's wonderful. But what do you do with it? Intentionally do something about it. And we'll have a chance at the end of this message to do something like that. On 3:30, we have a chance to wash some feet. There'll be setup. There'll be ushers. There'll be community outreach. There'll be first impressions. And I hope everyone takes advantage of that. I look at this community that we're in. There's 1.2 million people just in Wake County. Out of that, being new here and the area we're in, there's a lot of new people. I believe there's a large portion of this community either has a negative position or a non-position on Christianity. This is the Bible Belt per se, but I don't believe we're in the midst of it. And I like what the video that Matt put on the website when we were looking for a church. He had a video, and I saw it, and I said, "Ann, we have to visit that church." He had a video. He says, "Most people look at churches, Bible policing or sin affirming. And the Bible's not either one." At our church in Pennsylvania, we made some drastic changes, much like to become a church like this. We were a program-based church. We believed in the three P's. You know what the three P's of most churches are? The preaching, the programs, and the praise and worship. But there's one P we left out. That's the people that need to be reached. It was all inward and inward and inward. I got really convicted. I was at Lowe's, which is right down the street from our church. And, you know, sometimes you think you're better than you are. And I says, "Well, I'm the pastor of this church." And Lowe's is literally, I mean, a stone's throw, a little more than a stone's throw from where our church was. So I was in there, and I was talking to the lady at the counter. And I said, somehow church came up. I says, "Well, I'm the pastor of that church." You know, she goes, "I've never heard of it." And I'm thinking to myself, in my pride and arrogance and narcissistic way, "You've never heard of our church? We're right there." She goes, "Never heard of it." And then I says, "Well, maybe she lives on the other side of town. She doesn't drive by a church. She drives the other way. So maybe she's never driven by it." And I asked her where she lived. She lived right down the road. And that hit me like a ton of bricks. I said, "We got the preaching, you know, whatever it is and is. I don't claim to be the best orator of Scripture, and I don't claim to be Charles Haddon Spurgeon reformed or anything like that. But I came to the point I was broken. And from that point on, I said, we need to be more like servants. We can have the preaching, the programs, and the praise and worship, our choir, whatever you want to call it, in the tradition of your music. But if you're not serving with humility, you're not right with God, and the community really is checked out." Now, how did Jesus teach his people to serve? If you look at the New Testament, did he give them a lecture, or did he give them an example? You find in discipleship, he gave them an example. He actually lived out what he was doing. He was one-on-one together with them, serving amongst the people. Jesus had some great preaching at the Sermon on the Mount. He had great preaching in Jerusalem, especially toward his last week, as he called out what needed to be called out. But the overwhelming majority of Jesus' ministry was to 12. In fact, if you go a little further, it was the three, Peter, James, and John. So this morning, I want to open in prayer, and I want to open us up as we look forward to Easter, how we can serve with humility. Can we pray together? Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you for this church. I thank you for the heartbeat of the elders and Matt, the partners of this church. And Lord, I do pray for this message that you would be honored to the message that is given. And I pray for each and every one of us that we would be willing to look at this text today, this biblical text, and say, "God, help me to be a foot washer. Help me to be an example like Jesus set in John chapter 13. Christ's name I pray, amen and amen. John chapter 13, let's look at verse number 14, please. John 13, 14. He says there, Jesus says, "If I then your Lord and teacher have washed your feet, you also ought to wash another's feet. For I have given you an example that you should do just as I have done to you. Truly, truly, I say to you, a servant is not greater than his master, nor is a messenger greater than the one who sent him. If you know these things, blessed are you if you do them." In the text we're going to look at today, Jesus demonstrates service first, and then humility. Service and humility. First, he'll give an example, and then he's going to explain what it means. He will perform the deed first. By the way, that's going to silence the people, those 12 that were sitting in the upper room. And then he'll explain the meaning. So the big idea for today, the big idea that for this message, is service and humility are interconnected. They go hand in hand. You can't have one without the other. You can try, you can fake it, but eventually it comes out. The Bible's full of service scriptures. Matthew 5:16 says, "In the same way, let your light shine before others, though they may see your good works and give glory to your Father which is in heaven." Hebrews 13:2 says, "Let brotherly love continue. Do not neglect to show hospitality to strangers." Romans 12:13 says, "Contribute to the needs of the saints and seek to show hospitality," and so on and so forth. But the text we're going to look at today is an interesting portion, John chapter 13, 14, 15, 16, all chapters in which Jesus is giving some incredible promises from the upper room. Dr. Katzenberger calls this the farewell discourse. I like to call it, I've heard it before, the Passover discourse or the Passover supper, the upper room discourse. And what we'll find in these chapters is great promises that are given to these disciples to be encouraged because Jesus is going away. We're at the very end. The text that we're looking at today, it's Thursday night. Tomorrow he's going to hang on the cross. So really think about that. If you had 24 hours left as a mortal human, don't you think what you would share would be the most important portion? You're going to get it. You're going to get rid of the fluff and get it all out right now. And that's what Jesus is doing. He's only got a short time left. And he's going to talk about some subject matters. And he's going to talk about Judas in this text. He's going to talk about other areas. He's going to encourage the disciples that he's going to say, "Peter and John, here's where your future lays. And I'm not preaching on all four chapters, praise God, because we have to be out of here by 10:20, I think. The danger for you is I'm used to preaching with a clock, and there's no clock up there. So God help you, right? But I have the old trusted iPhone, all right? But the point is, he's just got so much to say, so he narrows it down. And here's what I find incredible about this text, John chapter 13. What's the first thing out of the gate? He washes their feet. Can we just sit on that for a minute? Humility and service. This is one-on-one discipleship with the Master, this text, this portion of Scripture, John 13 through chapter 17. There's no more large crowds. There's no more time to, now it's time to just give the important material to his disciples. In our culture, we learn from an early age how to consume and to get what we want. But that's not what Christ taught in the Bible. All the character traits we find in the Bible, humility is one that comes out loud and clear for a Christian. Humility is the feeling or attitude that you have no special importance that makes you better than anyone else. The illustration could not be better. A foot washing. A foot washing. Jesus said in Paul writes in Philippians 2, "Do nothing from selfish ambition or conceit, but in humility, count others more significant than yourselves." Philippians 2:4, the next verse, "Let each of you look not to his own interest, but also to the interest of others." With that being said, let's jump right into this. The first point I want to look at this morning is the deed is performed. The deed is performed. Look at verse number 1, please, of John 13. "Now before the feast of the Passover, when Jesus knew that his hour had come to depart out of this world to the Father, having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them to the end." That gives a sense where this ministry, this 3.5 year ministry of Jesus is coming to a close. During the supper, when the devil had already put into the heart of Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, to betray him, Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hands and that he had come from God, was going back to God. Don't miss this. Now, it says something key during the supper. So one could lead to think that they had already started. Isn't that a logical conclusion? They had already started. And here Jesus is saying in the opening verse, come to the end. They came in with dirty feet. There no doubt was a basin at the door. This upper room was somewhat of a hidden room that they divinely found through the Jesus had told them to go to a certain place, and the room was there, and they were somewhat in hiding, and they were supposed to be incognito to some degree, and they came in, and I can imagine as you come into that upper room, as you come there, there's a bowl of water and maybe a towel. They walked right by it, sat down with dirty feet. Nobody washed his feet. Foot washing was common in that time, and that in ancient times, you had the sandals, you walked through the mud, you traced through the dirt, and when you would come into a home, you would take your sandals off and your feet would be washed. It was a slave's type of a job, a lower citizen, so to speak. It was the lowest of the low to wash somebody's feet. By the way, you know that when you have to wash somebody's feet, right? And you would think of all the teachings and all of the teachings of Christ, that somebody in that room would have said, Jesus, let's wash your feet. He let them come in with dirty feet because, I don't know, this is the case. I'm too good for that. So Jesus maybe let it, and adding a little bit of liberty to the scripture here, and I don't think it's unbiblical to think this, Jesus maybe was thinking, well, eventually they're going to get around to this. Now, it's during the supper started, so he says, stop. So look what Jesus does. And we're in verse number 3, and then we'll go around to verse number 4. Jesus, knowing that, verse number 3, the Father had given all things to his hand, and he had come from God, was going back to God, rose from the supper, laid aside his outer garments, taking a towel, tied it around his waist. He poured water into the basin to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe them with the towel that was wrapped around him. What were the disciples doing? Have you ever said that to your kids? Seriously, guys, what have you been doing? What were they doing? Let me tell you what they were doing. I don't have the time. For the sake of time, I won't go there. But if you would go to John chapter 22, I believe it's verse number 24, you know what they were doing? Get this. They're arguing who's the greatest. Seriously? Now, if you're Christ, you're sitting there going, I would be saying, unbelievable. Could I start over and get rid of these guys? We need some more. This is not going to work. You ever felt like that with somebody? How's it God? Sometimes he feels that way with us. What does it take to get through to you? They're arguing in John, a parallel portion of this, by the way. They're arguing in John at this point, who's the greatest? And Jesus takes it during the supper, pulls out and washes their feet. This is the last thing Jesus, these three chapters, last time he will see the disciples. And right out of the gate in his discourse in the upper room, he washes feet. You know what that does? It gets their attention. You want to get the community's attention? You want for this church, our church, let some foot washing take place. It will totally silence a lot of the negativity people have to Christianity. I know it because I was one of them. I didn't get saved. I was 28 because I got tired of hearing people lecture to me about this, that, and the other. And they were right doctrinally. I mean, I'm not saying they were wrong. But it wasn't until somebody took interest in Fred and Ann Ayers with little babies. We didn't come to know Christ till we were in our late 20s. And served us and loved us, that the Lord opened my heart to get saved. 3 weeks from today, we all have a chance to wash feet. Some it's setting up. Some it's being a welcome, a greeter. There's a lot that can be done. I'll close at the end of the service. I'll show you an opportunity to where you can sign up. Foot washing is referenced all through Scripture. Genesis 18:4, Genesis 24:32, Genesis 43:24. Luke chapter 7, we see the story of the sinful woman who anointed Jesus' feet with perfume and washed them with her tears and wiped them with her hair. And Jesus used this act of love and humility to teach about forgiveness and God's depth of God's grace. Do you think the disciples? Oh, well, who's the greatest? Jesus? The hour was come. The day was the preparation day. The dreadful hour had come, but instead of thinking of himself, Jesus thought of others and washed their feet. Put yourself, Jesus was all God. He was all man, though. He was man and God. He was the God-man. We can see them grouped around him, puzzled. The 12 men, except for one, had come to love him with all their hearts. Jesus would do the unthinkable. He would set the example. He would take a towel and wash the feet of the disciples. This was the lowliest job. I got a note to myself in my iPad here when I put this together. Let that sink in the next time you're called to do something to help someone else. The early church was known by outsiders as how they loved each other and they put the needs of others before themselves. Ephesians 4 says this, Paul writes, Therefore I, a prisoner of the Lord, urge you to walk in a manner worthy of the calling which you have been called, with all humility, gentleness, with patience, bearing with one another in love. If we're going to have an impact, listen, we must serve the community and know that we care. People don't care what you know until they know that you care. The second thing we're going to look at this morning is we're going to unpack this, give an explanation of what is going on, and then get to the application later on. Look at verse number 6, please. He came to Simon Peter. Now, that's interesting. I've looked at this text. I've researched it. There's no definitive, but it gives you the idea. Now, here's the point. It gives you the idea that Peter wasn't the first one he washed their feet. It says it came to him. Like, there may have been two or three before him. You guys understand that? It could happen, right? So Peter would say some things. Peter was the kind of guy that would say something that everybody else was thinking. Have you ever met somebody like that? I'm so glad they said that. I don't look like the dummy, right? I remember when I was in college, I have an engineering degree, and shot the sharpest knife in a drawer, but, you know, I remember being in some high-level dynamic classes, engineering classes, and I didn't understand it, and there was all this guy named David Reeves. He was from down in Selma, Alabama. He was as country could be, and David Reeves would raise his hand and say, Teacher, I don't understand that. I'd say, praise God for that guy, because he said what I am at. That's me. So it says here, he came to Simon Peter and said to him, Lord, do you wash my feet? That's kind of not satirical. He's like, do you wash my feet? Really? Remember, they were arguing who was the greatest. Jesus answered him, what I am doing, you do not understand now. Now, he would, because remember, he's going to deny the Lord three times. He would understand forgiveness. He would understand sanctification. He would understand all the body. He says, you don't understand now, but afterward, you will understand. Then Peter says to him, now, look at this. It's interesting. He calls him Lord in verse 6. Do you get this? But in verse 8, he's telling the Lord he calls in verse 6. In verse 8, he's telling him what to do. Right? We say that something. Oh, you're Lord, but by the way, you better do this. In verse number 8, he says, Peter said to him, you shall never. The languages bear me out on this. If you look at the way the Greek puts this, the languages say, it's now, it's forever, it's never going to change, it's settled. You will never wash my feet. Jesus answered him, if I do not wash you, you have no share with me. I'll unpack that in just a second. Simon Peter said to him, so he flips on a dime, just totally flips. He goes from never wash my feet. He wants to please the Lord. One thing you can say about Peter, he did have a desire to serve God. Have you ever met anybody that really has a desire to serve God, but they just messed up in some areas? Praise the Lord for people like that, because I'm one of them, and so are you, and all of us. He said there, he goes, you shall never wash my feet. Jesus answered him and said, if I do not wash you, you have no share with me. Simon Peter said to him, Lord, Lord, not just my feet, my whole body. I think he's going, what? What did you just say? But my hands, my head. Jesus kind of clears that up. What Jesus was saying, if I don't wash your feet, you have no part with me. He wasn't saying you're not saved. He said, if you want to have a part, you want to be sanctified, you want to live a God by grace, you've got to have daily foot washing. There's one bath, but there's many basins, and I'll explain that in a second. So he goes on and says, Lord, not my feet only, but my hands. Then verse number 10, he says to him, the one who has bathed does not need to wash except for his feet, but is completely clean. Now look at verse, oh, I love this. Look at verse number 10. Please, oh my, I would jump, I would do a backflip. Can you imagine the Lord saying this to you? Look what he says, verbally in his presence. Now, we know that God, we know that we can be assured of our salvation. We understand that. We don't doubt our salvation, at least most of us. There'll be times where you may have some questions in that area. But here is the Lord Jesus Christ, God incarnate, God robed in flesh. He says to him, you are clean. Isn't that good? He says you're clean, but not every one of you. Now, how do I know he's talking about salvation? Because the next part he says, but not all of you, because Judas is over here. 11 of you are clean. There's one that's not. So he wasn't talking about salvation there. And then he goes on and says, but every one of you, he knew who was to betray him. And why? And that's why he said, not all of you are clean. There's a black cloud sitting in that room. It's called Judas. Well, the point I made on this second point was the reason behind this is when we look at this, a humble leader is going to be, sometimes there's going to be ridicule. You're going to be misunderstood. So you go out and try to serve. You go out and try to wash some feet. You're going to be misunderstood. You're going to be misunderstood by people. You're going to be misunderstood by family. You're going to be misunderstood by friends. You can be misunderstood. Don't miss this now, please. By some of the people you're trying to serve. So if you're in the mood of washing feet, not everybody is going to cheerlead you with pom-poms and say, praise God for you. Jesus was misunderstood. Sometimes there's resistance from others. Humility and service to others and the community may result in ridicule or misunderstanding. Think about this. My wife and I was an engineer. We were, originally we were dinks. Do you guys know what dinks are? Double income, no kids. Amen. Lots of money. Not saved. God saved us. Praise God. In New Jersey, of all places. And you can get saved in New Jersey. And God just changed our life. Transformation started to take place. After several years, I felt the call to serve God full time. I went to seminary, got my seminary degree. I wanted in a ministry. And you would think that because we wanted to serve people, that aggravated a lot of people. We got more lectures by people why we shouldn't do that. Our pastor was good. Some of our church family was good. I say all that to tell you, if you're going to serve, you're going to serve in 3 weeks from today, there may be somebody that's going to criticize you. Well, you've got to be here, you got to go there. You know what? Sometimes you just got to say, I'm serving God in spite of maybe being misunderstood. We'll leave it there. See, Peter knew that the Lord is performing the physical act, but he didn't understand the spiritual act. He would know it soon, however, because the Lord explained it. And he knew the experience when he was restored to the Lord after having denied him. The foot washing in this portion of Scripture was to show Peter that he would need sanctification, confession after salvation, 1 John 1:9. Our feet get dirty. We need to be washed by the cleaning water of the Word. Christ said, if I do not wash, I have no share with you. What he's saying is not that you are not saved, but without washing, I can't have fellowship with you. You don't need a head-to-toe cleansing like salvation, but your daily walk is not what it could be. On the way back from a public bath, a person's feet would get dirty. He didn't need another bath, but he did need to have his feet washed. He who is bathed needs only to wash his feet. There's a difference between the bath and the basin. The bath speaks of the cleansing received at the time of one's salvation, the cleansing from the penalty of sin through the blood of Jesus Christ. The basin speaks of cleansing from the pollution of sin that must take place continually through the Word of God. There's one bath, but there's many foot washing. This humble act was misunderstood and looked down upon. Humility is misunderstood for some type of people. In the Christian tradition, humility is about centering our lives on God, not on ourselves. That's hard to do, by the way. Our culture teaches that. It teaches your children that. Christianity is the antithesis of that. It is the opposite of that. Humble person will be misunderstood. A humble person may be run over, may be taken advantage of. Having served 24 years in a church, boy, we could write a book on some of that. And not that we sometimes probably weren't as humble and serving as we should. But when it comes to serving, sometimes you're just going to be misunderstood. The last point, number three, a humble leader, the command is given. This is a command. I don't think this is optional. Do you like that? You know, I want a Christian where I can check these boxes, but we'll leave out the others. Look at verse 12. I'll read this if you want to follow along on the screen or on your iPad or phone or Bible. When he had washed their feet and put on the outer garments and resumed his place. By the way, there was a hush in that room. Can you imagine? I'm arguing with the rest of the guys who's going to be the greatest. And our leader, in the middle of dinner, goes and gets the water and washes our feet. Have you ever been convicted? Yeah. So what happens is, he said to them, do you understand what I've done to you? There's a question mark there, right? You call me, you say all this with your mouth, right? Do we ever say things with our mouth, right? We say, I'll do this, I'll do this, I'll do this, but in many ways we deny him with our acts. I heard one writer call it this way. We say things, we verbalize things, we sing praises to God, we act one way, but we do something else. It's almost like a Judas kiss every day. This isn't a message where you raise your hands and do backflips and say, oh, that was wonderful, Pastor Ayers. Fred Ayers, rather, by the way. This is a message where you get on your hands and knees before God. I did. I was preparing this in Florida this week, and I just had to stop and say, whoa, I got to take care of some things. So then he goes on and says here, you call me teacher and Lord, and you are right. See how they do it with their, you know, they say this? But you are right. For I am. Verse 14. If I then, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you ought to wash another's feet. Now, he doesn't say it's the church's job to wash everybody's feet. I think you ought to wash your own feet, to be honest with you. So leave it there. But washing is still for today, by the way. Thought I'd throw that out. Anyway, he says, for if I have given you an example that you should do just as I have done to you. Look at verse 16. Truly, truly, I say to you, a servant is not greater than his master. By the way, you say you're my servant. You're not greater than me. Right? You want to light your friends and family up. Start being humble and listen. Start being humble and care. Start being humble and wash some feet. Go out of your way. And we have a lot of people in this church. The short time we've been here, it's been 4 or 5 months, we've seen that. Verse 16, truly, truly, I say unto you, a servant is not greater than his master, nor is a messenger greater than the one who sent him. Seriously? That's true. Nobody doubts that. If you know these things, the Greek word's gnosko, I believe, if you have an understanding, you have a depth, a breadth, you know that. If you know that, and you do, blessed are you. Blessed are you if you do that. Verse 17. In this section, Jesus goes back to the subject of serving and being a servant. I've given you an example that you should do just as I've done to you. It continues on. This is the beginning of all his promises in the upper room. But he starts out with foot washing. I think we need to take this and be intentional about it. We can go home, we can say, good message, whatever. But what are you going to do? Easter is coming up. Well, let me give you some applications of this first. Getting ahead of myself, and I'm almost done. The danger is my iPhone went out, so I have no idea what time it is. By the way, it's okay to laugh in church. I grew up in a church where you don't laugh, you don't talk to people, you walk in, you know, it's so formal, whatever. Not 100%. Foot washing. So what does this mean? Is foot washing the ordinance? Is the ordinance for the church like the Lord's table? I don't think so. I don't think that's the application here. Some people say it that way. Is the second one, we look at it spiritually, and I don't think this one's necessarily wrong, that foot washing is a spiritual application, means they should keep each other clean by constantly fellowship over the word. If one sees his brother growing cold or worldly, he should lovingly exhort him from the Bible. I don't think that's wrong, but that's not what I get out of it. But that's a good application of that. It's called sanctification. I think foot washing means this: humbling yourself to serve others in spite of your social position or their economic status, and to be intentional about doing it. We have an opportunity here to do some foot washing in 3 weeks. Some of that is just serving, setting up. I can't even imagine. I haven't even talked to Matt about this. I can't even imagine setting up for 450 people in a 1,000-person auditorium. I heard that, and as a former pastor, I said, man, they've got a lot on their plate. Well, guess what? That's not their plate. That's your plate. Because you're a partner. You're here. That's you. That's me. You ever heard me say, I hope somebody does this? Well, somebody is you. I used to have people come to me and say, church, all the time, say, I'm going to come to church someday. I hear that all the time. I said, that's wonderful. We've got a special day coming up next week. It's called Someday Sunday. It's your day. Come. We can get the QR code up, the next slide. Easter. Here's what you can do. You can leave today intentionally saying, I'm going to scan that QR code. And when I scan that QR code, there's going to be a list of things that needs to be done. I did it last week, this middle of this week. I think you can check some of them. They're not overlapping. But could you say, I may not be able to do everything. But the elders and Matt, they need encouragement. They've stepped out in faith to do this. Could you just sign up for something? And yes, it may be inconvenient. You may not have your family there. I'm there. I got family coming in. I only see once or twice a year. And we're going to leave them that morning to serve in our house by themselves. They'll come to church, of course. So maybe it's that way. So why don't you sign up? Be intentional about it. It may not be washing feet, but everybody look here and I'm done. You're going to do something. If the QR code doesn't work, there's the information at the back desk. Let's pray together. Can we do this?